Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins, and I am so glad to be back. Lizzie, good morning. How are you?
I am doing good. How are you?
I am great. Did you see what was in the parking lot?
The new asphalt?
No, puddles. There were puddles of water about 3 feet long and about 2 feet wide.
Ooh.
We got rain last night.
Oh, I thought it was the sprinkler system.
No, no, it was in the middle of the road. It wasn't the sprinklers. And oh my goodness, we got rain and my driveway was wet. My flowers were wet. Thank goodness. And it's going to be rainy the next few days. Hopefully this is it. Do you know in the month of April, we're supposed to get about 3.8 inches of rain?
Oh.
Last month, we didn't even get a half an inch of rain.
Oh, wow.
With all the summer temperatures, plants, I'm having installations. I have no problem installing landscapes all year round. I mean, I won't do it before a hurricane comes or if we know a really bad, you know, freeze is coming. But most of the year, we can plant here year round in Florida. I will tell you, I am having plants die that I never thought would die. And we're having to replace them. I can't wait for this drought to be over.
And, okay, so I got a question. So it seems like the last few years, the April showers bring May flowers. I have not seen rain in April in quite a few years.
Well, so spring is our dry time of the year.
Okay.
It's exactly opposite of up north. So up north, April showers brings May flowers. Not here in Florida. It's our dry season.
Uh-huh.
And so we get the rain when we need it, which is the summertime and the fall. And so that's when we get most of our rainfall and replenishment, especially from storms. We definitely need our storms. And so we just need them to be light and easy, just consistent rain, you know, just a heavy deluge of rain. But during the wintertime, we don't get it. And that's normal. But we usually get between 2 inches and 4 inches during the springtime. That's a low. That's really low for us. Because during the summertime, we get between 6 to 12 to 15 inches of rain a month. So that's the difference. This year, we are down Central Florida area about 7 inches of rain, which we're going to make up when we get storms and things.
Mm-hmm.
But we should get it, you know, a little bit easier. So I am just so glad to see the rain. My blueberries are burning up.
Oh, no.
I mean, during a drought, you can't water enough because we're only allowed to water twice a week.
Correct.
And so even then, you know, we're still having issues. So I'm very pleased to see the puddles in the parking lot. You know, I even thought about going over and scooping it and kind of tossing it over to the flower beds, but it's okay. The humidity will be good. So I was gone for a few days, and you know, thank you very much for all of your production during the Best of Better Lawns and Gardens, and had a wonderful trip to Savannah, Charleston. Lots of beautiful flowers. I will tell you, it's incredible. Did you know Savannah is one of the top cities in the top four cities for bridal showers and bachelorette parties?
I mean, maybe, yes, that actually sounds like something to do.
But all these women walking around Savannah and Charleston with bridal veils in groups of girly groups, and it was funny to see, but we just had a wonderful time. I think everybody, my new trend is now everybody needs to put up window boxes. And window boxes on the outside of the front of their home and put in beautiful spring and summer annuals. And it just makes the whole community look so much better.
It really does.
And
it really does.
I just really would like to see that and here in Florida. And so we could put tropicals in there, but the vines and just the thriller fillers and spillers of window boxes.
And wait, I don't know if you want the, what's the high top called?
The Thriller.
Okay, I think we should.
Well, you know, it could be just one in the middle.
Okay.
And then you have the little fillers like calibacoas and all kinds of like ferns and things like that. And then you have your spillers, your licorice plants, your ivies, you know, a sweet potato vine. And so it just looks amazing.
Okay.
So window boxes.
Okay. Let me tell you something, okay? I've helped grow when I was younger. I was in the garden 24/7, like about an acre of garden is what I would help keep, okay? I have not grown okra since I was a kid, and then I got short-term memory loss anyway. So when my okra plant started producing, I'm like, that is the prettiest flower.
Isn't it?
I have ever seen. Now, I love okra, but I don't like messing with it because you got to soak it and you got to make sure it's not slimy and blah, blah, blah. And then you have to cut it at a certain
deep fry
time.
It. That's the best way to do
it. Yeah, and then you have to cut it at a certain time from the videos I saw, or it becomes hard. So I don't know. Mine's past my finger length. Yeah. But anyway, most beautiful. So I'm like all about planting like okra all over my property
it's
now.
It's a really great plant for edible landscapings. And so they have a beautiful yellow flower. It's in the mallow family. So it looks kind of like a hibiscus.
Hibiscus? Did I buy a hibiscus by accident?
Yes, but they're yellow and the okra seeds are wonderful. Fried okra for breakfast in the morning. You can't get any more southern than that.
Yes, if somebody else could just do that for me, please. Tony, what are you doing?
We're going to be back. We got a lot to celebrate in May. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my tour. And we are going to be taking your gardening questions. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. So, Quality Green Specialist, Mother's Day is coming up, so you definitely want to go and get your mother something wonderful that she can grow, she can smell, she can enjoy in her garden, looking at her garden. And Quality Green Specialist, Dana Venrick, he will be on next week, and he's going to help us out and tell us what you can grow. But Mother's Day is May 11th. May 11th, and so you want to make sure. Also, Peterson's Nursery, Lizzie, they're having their butterfly gardening seminar, which is right there on the property. And Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland, and Gila Dagno, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Dagno, she's going to be teaching at 9:30 to 10:30 next Saturday.
Nice.
And it will be, and she's from Go Natural Organics, and she does a great class. So you can go and learn all about butterfly gardening, but also buy the plants when you're there.
Yes, and Pearson's has that right there. So you're able to not only go from the seminar right to, and they have the best staff. That
they do.
The best. I mean, customer service is gone nowadays, but not at Peterson's. Oh my gosh, I love their staff.
Exactly. And I'm really proud of that because they're advertisers on the show, but they've got good, like a Quality Green Specialist. Their staff is excellent too. So it's that really personal touch. You can go in and tell them exactly what kind of conditions you have, and they can help you select anything. So,
yes.
You know, so Tony knew when we first started dating that not to buy me anything dead, like cut flowers. Always buy me live plants, live rose bushes, live flowers, you know. And he had a hard time because when he would go in the independent garden centers and it wasn't Quality Green Specialist at the time or Peterson's, but they would say, did Teresa tell you you could buy that?
Shut up. That's hysterical.
He goes, well, I was going to surprise her. No. We think we need to talk to Teresa first.
Shut up. That is so awesome.
The poor guy. And so That's really hard.
You know, so. And you'll be happy.
Yes.
Because I did a Teresa moment whenever I was checking out at Publix the other day. There was a young man, probably 20, early mid-20s, okay? And so I automatically, I carry on a conversation. I force people to talk to me, okay? And I go, so what do you have planned for this weekend? Well, he goes, my girlfriend and I, we're going to go and do this and this and that. And so, and then gaming was involved. And then right. I just wanted to throw myself out in front of a speeding semi. But I go, you know what you should do? I said, you guys over there sell roses. And this other stuff, like the little small petite
things.
Yes,
and they're wonderful. Yes, they're florist roses.
Yeah,
yes.
And I go, and that's a plant. I said, you really should go buy her one. I said, don't buy those. I'm not saying buying cut flowers is bad, but you should buy her something that's going to last and she can put in the ground. And he was like, that's the best idea. I go, that was a Teresa Watkins tip. And he's like, who's that? And I'm like, never mind.
Well, the never mind part wasn't good.
Well, I don't want to be like, well, I'm the producer for her show.
Oh, yeah. I give you permission to do that anytime. Okay. Mike, good morning in Venice. Yes, puddles make me excited right now. Anytime I see rainfall, so good morning. I'm so glad you're listening this morning. So we're taking your gardening questions and we're paying all the attention to you. If you want to call and give us a gardening question, I would love that. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 and I will answer your questions. So May has a lot of celebrations. This is the Garden for Wildlife Month. Beginning May 1st, the National Wildlife Federation celebrates Garden for Wildlife with lots of promotions. You want to plant for birds. You can plant trees and grasses and flowers. So sometimes I'll see in a yard, they'll say, we don't get any birds at our bird feeder except crows and some of the bigger birds. And but there's no plants around. And so the birds need to feel protected. And so they need to have nesting areas and then also water. So you want to have some kind of water in your yard. And so that is just wonderful. So Gardening for Wildlife Month, National Wildlife Federation. So let me know what you're planting for the birds, okay? And then today, Lizzie, and I know yesterday I talked about it with Simon and you and Justin. Today is World Naked Gardening Day. And World Naked Gardening Day has been celebrated since 2005. It is a thing, okay? And state of Florida is one of the few states that have public nudity allowed.
Yeah.
And so they have about 10 different beaches.
I was like, well, make sure you know where the public nudity is, because then you can catch yourself, you know, like a federal case or was it, I don't know, what is it called? What's it called? It's not a misdemeanor. What's it called?
Felony.
There you go. Catch yourself felony on that one.
Yes. And so what my caution is, you don't want to be trimming your roses or your bougainvillea on World Naked Gardening Day. You don't want to be trimming your hollies or your agaves on World Naked Gardening Day. And you want to be very careful with sharp tools, okay, especially if you're in a crowd. And then so you want to make sure you put on sunblock, okay, your sun lotion. Mm-hmm. You want to wear your gardening hat, mm-hmm, and your gardening gloves and your sunglasses.
Nice.
Okay. And so that's the appropriate tools for it. And just go out there and enjoy. You can weed. You can, water your lawn, hand water it or whatever you need to do. And then also you can just smell the roses and tiptoe through the tulip trees, and which we do grow here in Florida, yes. Tulip trees. All right. So it's also Cinco de Mayo this month, May 5th. And of course, we celebrate with avocados and agaves, right? So the list of plants that come from Mexico are agave azul, allspice, dahlias, jacarandas, Mexican tarragon, which I love, orchids and poinsettias, prickly pears, pitias, which are night blooming cereuses, and sunflowers.
Ooh.
And sunflowers are wonderful. So when you want to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, you can have plants in your yard that are from Mexico. And I really try and do a plant palette when I have the Mexican tile roof homes or the stucco homes that look very Florida, early Florida. They look great with Mexican plants, and so that's good. And then also, too, National Public Gardens Week starts May 9th through the 18th. Now, if you're here in Orlando, Lou Gardens has an event on May 9th to celebrate National Public Gardens Day. And check with your local parks and botanical gardens to see what they are celebrating in your area. So this is throughout the country and the state of Florida. So if you're in the Fairchild Gardens, Botanical Gardens, any of the Kanapaha Botanical Gardens up in Gainesville, so you can find a garden this coming 2 weeks and check it out so that you can visit on those days. And we should be going to our botanical gardens and our public gardens all the time. Yes. They are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the nicest things I saw in Savannah and Charleston was how many people used those public squares, the little pocket gardens underneath the shade of oak trees, and they had statues, memorials in them, and a lot of history markers because Savannah and Charleston were prominent in the Civil War. So there's so much history there. And so the pocket gardens are so beautiful. So hopefully more cities are going to be creating more little pocket gardens.
Yes.
And the people really use them. So I was really nice to see they. And then finally, May 25th is a very important day. It is National Wine Day. And so you can plant container-grown grapes year-round. They grow year-round, but they go dormant in the wintertime. But you can grow your own grapes, and you can have your own wine grape-smashing vintner parties and, wash your feet. And so
clean out your toenails.
Yes, yes. You have to think about that, right? And so lots to celebrate this month. And so then also, too, if your mother's still around, you'd be very grateful.
Yes.
And go and give her a big hug and a kiss and bring her flowers.
Yes. Or, do something in honor for something that she would like. Like, I know that it's earlier in the year, but we replace all of our roses, or we shift all of our roses because Peterson's has that the event where they have all the roses come in the one time a year. And out of, my mom, every year we would always do that. So, yeah, definitely.
Sure. Oh, that's a great idea. Like. Yeah. So even if she's passed, you can memorialize her and just remember her
in a positive
on Mother's
way.
Day. In a positive
remember,
way.
Remember how good the times were. I know it's sad, but
yeah.
Remember the good times.
That's important. And flowers help us do that. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. What can we be planting this month? Well, vegetables are great. You want to start planting the summer heat tolerant vegetables, okay? No more of the lettuces and kales, unless you get the Asian ones. So let me give you some ideas of what you can plant that's going to take the heat, all right? Amaranth. Amaranth, it make grains with it. It is a beautiful plant. Boniato, calabaza, cassabas, chayotes, cherry tomatoes, and Everglades tomatoes will produce tomato little ones all year round, but they are so delicious. You pop them in your mouth and they are so sweet, and it's just like eating candy. Collards and dasheen, gingers, lima beans, longevity spinach. So you can plant spinach. You just got to make sure the varieties are heat tolerant. Long squash, loofah squash, snap beans, Malabar spinach, malangas, New Zealand spinach, and Okinawa spinach. So these are delicious. They're really peppery, and they take the heat really well. Okra, like Lizzie does, and papayas, hot peppers. Peppers will grow all summer long, so you can go ahead and take care of them. Southern peas and sugarcane, sweet potatoes, Swiss chard, tamarillos, yams, and yard-long beans. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us, 23680, and we'll get your questions answered. Let's go to Trish in Winter Haven. Good morning, Trish. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
How can I help?
I bought a weeping hibiscus tree, actually three of them.
Okay.
And I'm not much of a tropical person, more of the native Floridian type plants.
Sure.
And it's about 5.5-6 feet tall. The trunk's about 1.5 to 2 inches in diameter. Uh-huh. And, of course, the tendrils hang down, and they bloom at the end. One, I need to find out about fertilization. Two, do they only bloom on the end of the tendrils? And three, do I cut back anywhere, and if so, where's the best place to cut it back?
Okay, great. They're wonderful plants, and hummingbirds and butterflies love them. So that was a really nice choice. Now, are they in the ground or in the pot?
In the ground.
And they're in the ground. Okay. So your weeping hibiscus, when did you get them? Did you just recently plant them?
About a month and a half ago.
Okay. So I would just wait to cut them back till August. Okay, and then that will give them time to flush out again before the winter time. But I would go ahead, since they're new, getting in the ground, you want them to develop a really good root system. I wouldn't stress them out or put any extra effort to them or stress on them by cutting them. Because when you cut, you're going to start to see more production in the leaves, and it's going to encourage it to grow. But right now, while it's getting roots and establishing itself, especially during this drought, I wouldn't cut them back. So I would wait, and if you get a lot of good rain this weekend, if you get 1 inch to 1.5 inches, or when the rainy season starts, you can wait until June. You can put down a little bit fertilizer, follow the label. Mm-hmm. I would use a blooming fertilizer and give it that. So if you get an adequate rainfall, go ahead and fertilize them now, and that will be good. All right, so I wouldn't worry about cutting them until August. And if you get my newsletter, I actually tell you in my newsletter when to prune plants back, and hibiscus is one of those. All right. So wait till we've gotten adequate rain, and then you can fertilize, and then wait till August to prune it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. That's a really good choice of a plant. Very unusual. So I'm glad you did it. Thank you so much, Trish, for calling. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Beverly in Tallahassee. Good morning, Beverly. How are you?
Well, how are y'all doing?
We're doing great. It's so nice to hear from you.
And, well, it's nice to be up early enough and have my marbles assembled well enough to call.
I know the feeling.
I apologize if you've just answered this question recently, but I have daffodils and paper whites, and up here they naturalize and they'll spread.
Oh, you're so
lucky.
And
I've got a couple of clumps of them. You know, they're dying back. They're losing their little leaves or stalks or whatever.
Yes, the
stems. They're turning brown and yellow. So I need to dig them up before they disappear.
Right.
So when I dig them up, of course, it'll be hot up here.
Mm-hmm.
So can I just go ahead and plant them where I want them in my wildflower bed, or should I store them?
No, I would go ahead and replant them in the ground.
Okay.
Okay, right. And because you do get cold enough up there to give them those chilling hours in the fall and early winter. So, yeah, I would go ahead and just plant them where you, right now, dig them up, and so you know where they are because you won't be able to find them later on. And just transplant them where you want to.
Well, and even if I dig them up, if I don't put them back out in the yard, I probably won't be able to find them later on anyway.
Well, you can always put it in a pot. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Can I ask you one more quick question?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm saving the echinacea seeds off of the flowers, you know.
Yes.
Do I need to let them dry before I plant them, or can I just take them off?
So what are they in now? You're saving them. So are they wet now, or are they dry?
No, I just put them on a little ceramic dish, a little kitchen dish or something.
Okay.
And it's just off the one flower because it's just starting to bloom. So I don't know, do I let them dry or can I just go ahead and stick them in another pot and try and...
Okay, so either or, but I like to put them into a paper envelope.
Yeah.
For a few months, and then plant them again. So when the rain starts, you can go ahead and do that, or you can wait until fall and plant them in the fall.
Okay.
Okay, but I'd put them in an envelope, but that'll keep them nice and dry, and you can keep that in the refrigerator.
So
you're welcome. It's good to hear from you, Bev.
Thank you. Nice listening to you.
Thank you, hon. Bye-bye. So we have lots of good questions. So, Alinda, it's so nice to hear from you from Port St. John on the Space Coast. Thank you very much. And so I have perfect... Lizzie, can you tell us what a perfect text message is?
A perfect text is your name and your location. You can make up a name. Just remember that what name you pick so we're talking to you. The reason why we need your location is because Teresina gives you the exact grow suggestion and directions, and then a quick synopsis of what you're asking. So name, location, and a synopsis of what you're asking.
Yeah, there you go. So I have a text. I don't know where it's from. Good morning, Teresa. Good morning, ladies. So you're included, Lizzie. So that's we're the ladies. I have St. Augustine grass, and I've been watering it twice a week because of lack of rain. My problem, a few patches are vibrant green, but most of it is light green. I have not fertilized this year. I see some lawns that are dark, rich green. I would love that. Please let me know your thoughts. Thank you. Okay, so my first question is, you say you've been watering it. Are you hand watering or do you have an irrigation system? So let me tell you why. Because those areas that are nice and vibrant green are getting water, okay, from your watering twice a week. Now, the light green, they may not be getting the same amount of rain, of irrigation, if it's irrigation that you have. And so fertilizing should have taken place right there at the end of March, first part of April. Okay, and so that's the best time to fertilize. I would go ahead and after this rain that we're getting this week, go ahead and fertilize now because you can't do it after the month of June. Okay, so there's many cities and counties in Florida that have fertilizer bans, so you can't fertilize between June and the end of September. So just make sure your areas are all getting the adequate water. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Carol in Lakeland. Good morning, Carol. How can I help you?
Good morning. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you for asking.
Good. I've got three totally different questions to ask you. So
okay, super.
Hang in there with me.
I will. Fire away.
All right. So let's say you plant a tree and it's like just a little 5-foot tree, and you want to cut off, as it grows, you want to cut off some of the limbs so that it'll grow taller and not have the limbs that are like knee high. You
right.
want them to go up, right?
Right.
So does the tree grow from the bottom up or all the way up, or so I need to know, in other words, how low to cut the branches.
Okay, so you've got a 5-foot tall tree that's in the ground,
okay.
right? And
right.
it's in the right conditions.
Right.
Okay, you do not want to cut it until it's about 6 to 8 feet tall. It needs every single leaf to go through photosynthesis and create deeper roots. Okay, so right now, if it's not a problem where it is, okay, so like the branches aren't hanging over any kind of sidewalk or anything like that, which would mean it would be in the wrong place. But right now, I wouldn't worry about cutting it until at least it gets to be, I would say, 6 to 10 feet tall. And then you would just remove the lower branches so that you can walk underneath it. So you can do it a little bit at a time. But right now, I would not cut it.
I need to clarify. This is like an ornamental tree. This is like a Panama rose.
Oh, you've got a 5 foot tall Panama rose?
Yeah.
I would love to see a photograph of that.
Okay. Yeah. So and instead of a bush shape, it's been tree shaped, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get it to be taller and not, you know, and cut the limbs on the bottom.
Right. And I don't necessarily think you're going to do that by cutting it, okay? Because it's a euphorbia, and it's in that, it has that base. So, you know, that may be the height of it, and I'm going to look that up because I've never seen one taller than 3 to 4 foot tall. But if it's 5 foot tall, it's not going to get very much taller, okay? So it's not something that, I'm just wondering why you want to cut it.
Because I thought it would get taller. So, okay, that's the answer to my question.
Yeah, no. Cutting it back will not make it grow taller.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you.
Next question.
Okay, so Epidendrum.
The
five-star reed orchid.
Orchid,
you know?
Yes. I've got them blooming in my yard right now. Terrestrial orchid, yes.
I've got a lot of them, and what I want to do, I mean, some of them are, they've got all of this, I don't know how to make them look better because they've got all of
the white roots on the top. Yeah.
And the roots. So what do I cut out?
Okay. So do you want to move them, transplant them, or do you want to throw them away? Don't throw them away.
I want them to look better because they look like a mess. They're just a big, big mess.
Okay. Yeah. So what you can do is they do get floppy and they do multiply really nicely. So you must have great growing conditions. And so what I would do is cover the roots up with a little bit of dirt, just a little, and then mulch it. And then that way you can go ahead and you can cover some of the leaves too as well. They will keep growing. Okay. So I would just kind of clean them up. I would not cut the roots. I would kind of even just bury them, stick them in the ground, cover them with mulch. If you want to divide them up, then that's another way of making them look neater. But I've also seen people put little, not necessarily fences, but little wires around them, kind of like you do your gladiolas and your hollyhocks, where they lean when they get too heavy. And we have these steel posts you can put in the ground, steel wires that you can put in that will keep them growing straight up.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I have a couple in baskets.
Yes. Oh, that's nice.
And again, they've got all of this dead-looking stuff in them.
You could cut those off. So, anything that's dead, you can cut off.
Okay. I just don't want to cut. Okay. That's good. And then, finally, our caladiums that we planted last year don't seem to be coming up. Is it too dry or something?
I think it's still a little too dry. They really love tropical conditions. They like to have the moisture to get them to grow. Just be patient. I think they will start to produce. But it's due to the drought.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your help.
You're welcome. Thank you, Careful. Hold on. All right. And so...
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now... Teresa's top five.
And my top five plants are my top five favorite Mother's Day plants. And this is what my favorite is. My very first one is gardenia. Gardenia vetchi. Okay, gets 4 feet in height and width, blooms sporadically all year long, double white flowers, fragrant, constantly blooming, ideal for patio gardens. They're just beautiful. Gardenias. Number two is Grand Duke of Tuscany Jasmine. Jasminium sambac. It's fragrant. Gets 1 to 3 feet tall and wide. White camellia-like flowers. You will not believe the fragrance of this Grand Duke of Tuscany Jasmine. My number three plants, favorite plants for Mother's Day, Pink Perfection Camellia Japonicum. They're columnar, full sun to partial shade, 6 feet tall. They have winter blooms, so they are perfect for winter. My next one is just what Carol was talking about, terrestrial orchids. The Epidendrum radicans, 3 foot tall. They're bright orange and red, full sun to partial sun. They even like rocky soil, so you can put them in a Mediterranean bed or a desert garden. And then my last one are roses, live roses, not dead ones, live roses. Drift is my favorite. David Austin, heirloom roses, double delight, and angel face. Thank you so much, Lizzie. I was going to do an announcement. We were going to do it in the second hour.
My bad. I'm so sorry. I looked at the time and I'm like, the first hour is all. How did that happen? The first hour is almost
over. I know we've had
over.
Such great calls.
Yeah. So, listeners, you guys, as always, you guys step it up and you keep us on our toes, especially when we have a day off.
There you go. So, the May newsletter is going out on Monday. If you're not subscribed to it, it's free. I tell you what to do each month in the garden, in your landscape. I also talk about what's going on. And then I give my design tips. And then Lizzie has a wonderful little post in there. She talks about her gardening efforts and what she goes through. And she talks about the turkeys. And they're so cute. And how many do you have now, Lizzie?
A few.
I think she said 14 this morning. Okay. And then also, too, my landscape malpractice. How to know when to fire your landscaper. And this month, it's a doozy. And then also just all kinds of hints, my favorite plants. So that is my In Your Backyard newsletter. You can go to my website, www.shehe-consulting.com. Or just Google Teresa Watkins newsletter. It will come up. And it's free. I do not spam. And I think you'll enjoy it. So go ahead and you get on my list now and it'll get sent out on Monday. And you'll enjoy reading it. So I really do appreciate it. Lizzie, I want to thank all of our callers this morning and people emailing in and texting. I have a lot to read here. We're going to have a busy second hour.
Yeah.
You're going to want to stay tuned for that.
And ask him, Bill, if you can hold on for this this next.
Yeah, Bill and DeLand.
Yeah, please hold on.
You've got a great question. And so that's wonderful. Also, if you're interested in traveling with me to see fabulous gardens everywhere, and we have our Art and Bloom Garden Tour Company, and we just got back from our first trip of the year. Next month, we're going to the Chelsea Flower Show in London, and it's all booked out, sold out. And then our Newport, Rhode Island show is sold out, and we have Buffalo. That's going to sell out pretty quickly. We had some calls yesterday, so it may be sold out. Scotland in August. We are going to fabulous botanical gardens. We're going to the Highlands. We are going to take a boat ride and Loch Ness and look for Nessie. Okay. It doesn't have anything to do with gardening, but if we find her, it may be good for the compost pile. I don't know. And so then also to train rides, we're going to take the Hogwarts train on the viaduct. It's just going to be a fabulous trip. And then we have the Hudson Valley, all the gilded mansions, and just the beautiful, beautiful botanical gardens, the cloisters, in September.
And if they're interested in taking part of this, and where's it located so they can find out how
you
much
can
it
go
is?
To our website. It's again www.artandbloomgardentours.com. artandbloomgardentours.com. You can sign up on our Facebook page. Lizzie, they need to go to our Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page and like us. And we do appreciate everyone. We're going to be right back. Bill, hang on. We got you. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you miss any of the show, you can always re-listen to it at betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.